rise to our feet. You are the only true God, and this is eternal life, that we may know you and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Lord, we thank you for your presence in this place, for revealing yourself, for stepping down and honoring our meeting with your presence. It is all through your sovereign will, by your mercy and your grace. We are here now with our hands lifted up. We worship you. We honor you. We sanctify you in our hearts. Be blessed now and forever. Eternal one, immortal one, who dwells in light unapproachable. We bow before you. We honor you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we all said amen. While we're still on our feet, we just turn to Acts 3, verse number 25. Acts 3, verses number 25. I don't want to take time. I want us to welcome the apostle. We just want to read that portion of scripture. This is Apostle Peter preaching here. He says to the people of Israel who were at Jerusalem, after having seen the notable miracle of a man who was impotent from birth, who had suddenly been healed in the name of the Lord Jesus. While Peter preaching, he says to them, ye are children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. If you notice that scripture, you will see that the covenant is in singular, but the fathers are in plural. It says you are children of the prophets, which is plural. And it says of the covenant, not covenants. Covenants of our fathers, the covenant of our fathers. The fathers are many, but the covenant is one. Meaning the covenant became a legacy. Abraham passed on the same covenant to Isaac. Isaac passed on the same covenant to Jacob. And Satan kept on introducing, trying to cut new covenants with them to take them away from the covenant. So every now and then, God will raise people in the midst of Israel, the likes of Elijah, to bring them back from covenant to covenant. Because though the fathers be many, but the covenant is one. So Jude says in Jude 1 verse 3, I had intended to write to you about the common salvation which we share, but I was pressed in my spirit to exhort you to contend for the faith which was once delivered, not a new one. The only new thing that God is doing now is to take us back to the original covenant of the fathers. So Peter was exhorting them here, saying, come back from covenants. Jeremiah 6:16 says, stand in the crossroads and cry out, ask for that old path. Don't generate a new path. Ask for that old path. And when you find it, walk in it. You will find rest for your souls. He says, but the people said, we will not walk in that path. So God will raise every now and then men, give them an ancient spirit to retrieve apostolic patterns and templates to help our generation, though we be many, but we build upon one foundation. It is that time and it is that season where God is bringing us back from covenants to one covenant. We are not sons of charlatans, we are sons of the prophets. ye are sons of the prophets, and of the covenant which the Lord made with our fathers. I can say this boldly, that God has raised a man for us, not only in Africa, but even beyond Africa, who carries the original apostolic template for the church. As we stand on this crossroad tonight, we are crying out, Lord, show us the old path. We want to walk in it. God has sent us one of his best, sent us his choicest servant in our midst, in the person of Apostle Arome Osai, whom we are going to welcome in a moment. But I want to honor all pastors, great all men of God who are here. Apostle Babu Mtebu, greetings, Baba. All our seniors that are here, I greet you and welcome you all in Jesus' name. Amen. I would love for us, with that in mind, with a shout and a loud clap of hands, to receive the Lord's servant, Apostle Arome Osai, as he mounts the podium. Hallelujah.
Amen is weak. I say hallelujah. It's a great honor to be in Pietermaritzburg. And when you find me in Pietermaritzburg, I will be with Apostle Essie Ndolpo. A man with a sweet spirit, a man with a great woman standing by his side. And we trust that through our combined labors, the kingdom of God in this land will be extended in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise tonight. We thank you. We exalt your name because you are God. Thank you for what you are doing in KZN. We trust you to set your foot on the land, and that everything that is contrary to your glory will suffer loss. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask for grace on all the ministers of the gospel laboring truthfully in the vineyard. Let this moment of our fellowshipping be a moment of corporate promotion, a moment of increase, a moment of grace. Be glorified in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Please, you may be seated. Turn your Bible with me quickly. We'll still continue from where we stopped yesterday. But we will take an additional scripture to call us back to the service before we progress. And I will want to invite us to the book of Isaiah chapter 11. Isaiah chapter 11. I want to invite us. And just in case your phone is not on silent, you are likely to constitute a distraction to this service. So I want to advise that if your phone doubles as your Bible, you may wish to put it on silent. Isaiah chapter 11, verse number 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its root. Please stay in verse 1. Stay in verse 1. Let us pick the uniqueness, the unique things that are captured in verse 1. If the anointing comes upon your child and the child cannot manage the excitement and expresses it through crying and tears, you are advised to take the child to a corner. There is a corner there so that the child's participation in the anointing will not constitute a hindrance to the rest of the people in the congregation. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Prophetic language is metaphoric. Prophetic language is idiomatic. So we have a few metaphors in this scripture I'd like us to take note of before we begin to make progress. The first metaphor that we have there is a rod. Second metaphor that we have is the stem. Third metaphor that we have is the branch. Fourth metaphor we have is the fruit. Is the what? Root. What is missing here? Because this is descriptive. The metaphor that was chosen for the unveiling of the mind of God as captured in the book of Isaiah chapter 11 is the metaphor of a tree. So the tree has roots. The tree has branches. The tree has a stem. And out of the tree, the rod came. So what is missing in fruit. Only fruit is missing. That's why the next verse talks about fruit. Stay with me. There shall come a rod out of the stem of what? Jesse. And a branch shall grow out of his roots. Then the next verse gives us the fruit that that tree will produce. Are you still with me? They are not with me. Hey. You know, normally, theologically, this is an easy theological route for a preacher to conclude that the items mentioned in verse 2 are the seven spirits of God. It's an easy theological route, but that's not what it is. Go there. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. One Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. But it will manifest as the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. This is, we're talking fruit here. Oh, you don't like. You are not calling. The seven spirits of God is a different matter. It's not in this scripture. That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying here are the fruits that the Spirit of God will produce in a life of a man that is compliant with the ways of the Spirit. So these are the fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Yes, that is the investment. That is the spiritual capital. But it will manifest as the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. It will manifest as the Spirit of counsel and might. It will manifest as the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Now, I would like you to see the partnerships. Wisdom is with understanding. Counsel is with might. Because before you can fight, you need might to fight. But before fighting, you need to secure counsel. Are you there? Hallelujah. The spirit of knowledge is with the fear of the Lord. Because if you don't enter into the economy of the fear of God, God will shut the door of spiritual knowledge to you. You know, how many of you still remember when David, he cried out, and you know he grew up in Bethlehem, and he cried out and said, "Oh, that one will give me water out of the well of Bethlehem." It was a longing of his soul. That was what he said. It was not a command. But you see, David has been in the fortress. He had been in an hold for 13 years. And it takes 5 years to raise a man that is competent in the use of the sword, the shield, and the spear. It takes 5 years. And when David decided to move to the stronghold because his life was in danger, many people there be that began to join themselves to David. And these guys were with David for 13 years. They were training for battle for 13 years. And it takes only 5 years to make a legionnaire. So when David said, "Oh, that one will give me drink out of the wells of Bethlehem," these guys took it like a command because they were looking for an opportunity to test their skills. Those days, the well of Bethlehem was guarded by the garrison of the Philistines. And the word garrison is a military terminology that is the same with legion in the Greek. Garrison is used for its Old Testament language. So you'll find legion in New Testament language, but it means the same thing. It means a company of soldiers from 2,000 to 12,000. That's what forms a garrison. And only three guys heard the longing of David. The Bible called them mighty men. Are you there? And they decided to go against a garrison of at least 2,000 men. And you know that if they are going to get water back to David, at some point in the battle, one man will be down because he will be trying to use the instrument to get water. I'm just trying to paint a picture so that you understand the kind of battle that he was in. And they still brought the water back to David. How did they do it? I don't know. But that's why they end the title mighty. Now, when they brought the water to David, David began to operate in spiritual knowledge. He said, they gave him water. But he said, "Is this not the blood in the eyes of David?" By the analysis of spiritual knowledge, the value of that blood was, of that water, was equivalent to blood at that time. You are not with me. He poured that water out as a libation. That is only the spirit that should take this kind of offering. If you don't have spiritual knowledge, you will drink it. But the value of what you are drinking is not water. It has been upgraded to blood because he took the blood of a man. A man jeopardized his life in order to bring it. Oh, you are not with me. Are you there? Without spiritual knowledge, you will do foolish things that will cripple you in the future and mortgage the destinies of your children. In order for you to enter into the economy of spiritual knowledge, the passcode is called what? Huh? You know, I am not convinced that you are here. That's why I brought this scripture. I brought this scripture as a means of bringing you back from where you are to where we stopped yesterday. He said the Spirit of the Lord shall come upon him, and that Spirit of the Lord will manifest as the Spirit of wisdom. It will be the Spirit of wisdom and understanding in some vessels. That's the Spirit of the Lord. It will be the Spirit of counsel and might in some vessels. It will be the Spirit of knowledge and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord in some vessels. Take note of these partnerships. Are you with me? So, God will not give you spiritual knowledge if he has not yet given you the spirit of the fear of the Lord. God will not give you might if he has not first given you counsel. God will not give you understanding if he has not given you. It is wisdom that opens the gate to understanding. It is wisdom. It is the spirit of wisdom that opens the gate to understanding. Now, how many of you are here, you had a dream and you did not know the interpretation, even though you are a scholar? I know some of you, in the moment the dream is coming, the interpretation follows instantly. You lie. Let me give you an idea. Let me give you an. Okay. Because you lied, I will not give you an idea. Yeah. Okay. When you have labored in the wilderness for like 2 years, you will need the answer to, that I wanted to give you. You go on fasting to look for it. Because I asked you a question, you say, oh, you know, we are of the high breed, you know. When God discloses something, we know the meaning instantly. Okay, let me leave you. Go back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 8, where we stopped yesterday. So let me ask again. How many of you have ever dreamt before and you did not know the meaning of what you dreamt? All right, you can go. You had enough wisdom to go to the University of Johannesburg and study engineering and pass out with a degree. But you had a dream and you did not know the meaning. The reason is because the dream, that communication was given to you on a frequency that is beyond the civilization of your thought. That dream that you have is a proof that you have encountered the spirit of revelation. Because the dream disclosed something that is in another realm. That's the spirit of revelation. But in order for you to know the meaning, you will need the spirit of wisdom. It is wisdom that can crack the meaning of hard sentences. You are not with me. Okay. Do you realize that life throws questions at us? Whenever you are in a situation, even though you are educated, but you seem handicapped in solving that puzzle. Have you been there before? You have a university degree, you are in fact you are PhD holder, but you lack money. There's a financial matter that is on your hands. And the Schrödinger equation that you learned in physics cannot solve the mystery of money that is on your life at that time. What you need is the spirit of wisdom. Even though life seems to be natural, the utensils with which we prosecute life is supernatural. Yes, don't forget that. The utensils, witches go for campaigns, for trainings. They go for lectures in the night, sometimes for 16 years, so that they can dominate here. In the eyes of Jesus, natural life is supernatural. That's why he said, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they will what? Cast out them." It means you will have need to cast devils out. Even if you are working for the government in the office, there will be demonic people that will put things on the ground. You will have need to know how to dislodge devils, to expel demons from locations so that you can live a normal life. So you see, this normal life we are talking about is supernatural. It's already rigged. It's rigged already. So you will need to have supernatural appendages in order for you to prosecute natural life. And so in the Holy Ghost, we have expressions of the dimensions of the Holy Ghost that are highly spiritual, but they equip us for normal life. Are you still with me? They equip us for what? Oh, you are not with me. Go back there. Isaiah chapter 11. Give me verse 3. They equip us for normal life. Because you don't run, you do not prosecute normal life with normal things. Somebody that wants money, he goes to Johannesburg Business School to learn about money. To learn about how the all-share index, how the current exchange rate, how the interest rates on loans and all those financial variables, how it plays out to either advance your course or frustrate your advancement. So he's learning about letters and figures and numbers and percentages and decimals. And he comes out thinking he's equipped to engage the economic forefront. Only for him to discover that the certificate that he got will eventually become a mockery, because that economic war front is manipulated by spiritual people. And I'm not saying it's to downplay education. The seed you sow on the soil of your soul, if you have developed your soul, you'll be more of a resource in the hands of God than someone that has not. So you will see the impact of the education that Apostle Paul had. You will see it in his ministry. I'm saying you are going to be resourceful because you have exercised your computers, your mind. But you see, the fact that you have exercised your mind doesn't give you an advantage. Someone that doesn't have as much mental capacity as you have can be ahead of you throughout your lifetime, because he knows that life is prosecuted with spiritual utensils. Let me give you this scripture before we go back. Are you still with me? And shall make him, this Spirit of the Lord. Are you there? The Spirit of the Lord that manifests as the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of the Lord that manifests as the Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of the Lord that manifests as the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. The same Spirit of the Lord. See, so those are fruits. The same Spirit of the Lord will make you quick of understanding in what? Now, you didn't get that. If your Bible has a lexicon, I would like you to click on quick. The same Spirit of the Lord. That's what it's going to do to you. It's going to make you quick of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And when you have quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, you will now have the capacity to judge not after the sight of your eyes, and to reprove not after the hearing of your ears. So my charge to you is to find out the Greek word, the Hebrew word translated quick in that scripture. Have you checked it? What did they find? Oh, no one helping me to check. And I don't want to use my own, because you will claim that I'm trying to. So you will deny me. So I want someone in the congregation whose electronic Bible is equipped with a lexicon to read the Hebrew word that was translated quick. What? Ruach. What's the meaning of ruach? Check there, is there? The meaning is there. Is what? Yeah? That's one. Ruach is the Spirit of God. There's another meaning. Breathe. Ruach means the breath of God. The breath of God. Are you following me? Please follow me. The breath of God. So, the Bible is saying that I will make him of quick understanding. I will make him of Ruach understanding. I will make him of understanding. That will be a result of Ruach. Did you get that? Okay. It means that if God decides to breathe in your spirit, to release breath into your spirit, it has the capacity to produce what? Understanding. I'm just teaching you spiritual life. That's what I'm teaching. Oh, you didn't get it. Okay. Stay with me. This Ruach understanding, are you there? Stay with me. This Ruach understanding is a substitute for the judgment of your eyes. You didn't get it. Now, this Ruach understanding is a higher sense that should be trusted much more than your sight. This Ruach understanding is a spiritual sense that should be trusted much more than your hearing. What I'm saying is, if you heard something and Ruach gives you understanding, despise what you heard, because Ruach is superior to your hearing. It is a sense, but that sense is superior to your hearing. What you heard is a lie compared to what Ruach is bringing. Did you get it to that point? My message wants to change, but I'm fighting. What I'm doing now is I'm fighting inside. God wants to change my message, but I'm telling him reasons why we should remain real. Jesus. When Ruach comes upon you, it gives you a level of perception that is superior to the perception of your physical senses. The way the Sangoma knew that you are an enemy is not by storytelling. It's by the breath of a spirit that gave a certain understanding. You will be no match if all you have are letters. For the Bible says that the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. So if you don't know Ruach, you don't know life. You are operating in your least capacity, because that is what you are in your flesh. In the flesh, you operate in your least capacity. And in the spirit, you operate in your greatest capacity. You will need to make a decision that I want to be a spiritual man. You don't know how vulnerable you are when your spiritual senses are out. And you begin to operate from all your judgments are on the plane of the sight of your eyes. You know, I told you yesterday, if the only instrument of sight you have is your eyes, then you are blind. For the Bible says, why we look not on the things that are seen. In order for you to get ahead in life, you will need to have a means by which you can articulate things that cannot be seen. The things that cannot be seen are more concrete than the things that are seen. If your judgment, your knowledge, your strategy, your style is drawn from things that are seen, you are so disadvantaged, and time will reveal it. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, in view of the above, my message has changed, so I don't need this, my diary. You know, I was fighting, but I have stopped fighting. Come with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, beginning from verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, the first question I have to ask you is, how many people came to visit Jesus that night? One person. But when he was addressing Jesus, he said, we know. So it means that he was sent by a clique of men, by a group of men. He was sent by a certain theological block in the Jewish ruling council. He was sent as a representative of the interest of certain fellows in the Sanhedrin. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. You realize that the reason why they knew he was a teacher come from God was not because of his teaching. The reason why they knew he was a teacher come from God was because of the miracles Because the man that was speaking to Jesus was a teacher in his own right. We're all teachers. But we don't know where we are from, but we know where you are from. You are a teacher. Come. Because no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. You know, it's like as if those guys in the Sanhedrin have finally come to recognize that the ministry of Jesus was authentic, and they didn't want to just recognize it in their hearts. They sent a representative. But unfortunately, the representative came in the night. This is an accreditation exercise, but it happened in the night. Have you ever gone when the university board is trying to accredit a department, and then they come 12 midnight? So it's a strange case. I was expecting Jesus to say, why didn't you come for my crusade and read out this citation? It would have brought credibility to my ministry. People will now know that I am not in contradiction with the doctrine of our fathers. Alright? I was expecting Jesus to come up and criticize the time that they came, but eventually accept the commendation. And then Jesus now goes. The way he goes is strange. Next verse. Jesus now goes and says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now my emphasis in this scripture, even though there are many things there which we need to avoid so that we'll not get lost in talking, my emphasis in this scripture is the word see. Because we are talking about Ruach. Jesus said that the organic proof, the experiential proof that you are born again, this is Jesus. And I want to tell you about Jesus. Because I've taken time to study the teachings of Jesus. First of all, one of the unique things about the teachings of Jesus is that Jesus has a strange teaching aid. His teaching aid are parables. So when he wants to talk about a deep kingdom matter, he starts telling a story. That story is a cluster of metaphors that hold the key to the understanding of the unseen realm. He's an object teacher. So if he wants to teach about building, which he did in the book of Matthew chapter 16, he will go to Caesarea Philippi where they were doing construction. Are you there? Jesus will always avoid definitions. Always. Except one time. And that's John chapter 17. When he said, this is eternal life. You will never hear Jesus do that. He will always avoid giving a definition. He said, this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. He will avoid definitions. And the reason why he does that is because he doesn't want you to contemplate spiritual things and understand spiritual things on the frequency of mental accent. Because he had the opportunity to define what it meant to be born again here. Instead of him to define it, he gave us the experience of what it means to be born again. Are you there? So according to Jesus, the organic definition, the experiential definition of being born again is that your spiritual senses are activated. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, I know you are not following me, so I need to use an example. Is this a Samsung phone? Okay. It has Android. It's Android. Good. Because I don't know Apple. But I know this one. This phone has an Android operating system. When Apostle bought this phone, without inserting the SIM card, You can use the calculator. You can use the torchlight. If you have music stored inside of the phone, you can play your music without, and it will become a radio. Without having a SIM card. There are some things that can happen. You can enjoy some value from this phone without introducing a SIM card. Is that true? Well, the reason why you bought the phone is not because you needed a calculator. The reason why you bought the phone is not because you needed a torchlight. The reason why you bought the phone is not because you wanted a radio. You bought the phone because you wanted to communicate. All of that communication is not possible as long as there is no SIM card. Here we are, we have a phone. But the phone is dead to the network. The phone does not know the network. The phone cannot use the network. Is that clear? Then we introduce a SIM card. The moment we introduce a SIM card, and that's the aspect that the phone has a container that can contain a SIM card. And the moment you introduce the SIM card, the phone can work with the SIM card as if the SIM card was part of it. You there? But it's only the SIM card that has linked to the GSM network. It can understand the algorithm. It can take advantage of the potential. And you can it can make your phone a television. Your wife can be in Spain and you do a video call and you are saying, no, that makeup is not okay. It's not okay. Can you adjust? Can you adjust that? Because you are taking advantage of the potential of the network through the SIM card. And it will not look as though it was is the SIM card that is bringing that dimension. It will look like it's the phone because the SIM card is hidden. So, are you there? In the same way, before you gave your life to Christ, you could do some things. You could go to the University of Johannesburg and come out with a first class degree. You can address the press and tell them what you did to come up with your great success. You can be employed in the bank and you grow in ranks until you become the MD of the bank. Being a chartered accountant and having got 3 additional degrees and 1 PhD, you are competent to manage a bank. You know how money flows, even the money that you want to hide so that the government cannot track. You know where to put it. And then the guys, the accountants and the auditors will come and they will strain their eyes with their glasses and they cannot find where you put it because you are a smart guy. But all of that you are doing from your soul. And that was how Adam was before he fell. He was a living soul. His consciousness was in the area of his soul. It's only things that are consistent with the plane of the soul that he's conscious of. Any other thing that is captured in the kingdom of God, he is dead to it. He doesn't know that that realm exists. Until you introduce the Holy Ghost, who is the SIM card. Then, this person can now access, can now see another realm that he couldn't see before. So, in the eyes of Jesus, the experience of being born again is that you now have access to explore. You can sense the kingdom of God. You can participate in it. It is like a new island has opened unto you. But you see, the extent to which we explore this new island is dependent on your willingness to yield to the potential of the Holy Ghost, who happens to be the spiritual capital that was brought into your spirit man. Your spirit man is a one-bedroom accommodation. Think about it. Are you with me? If you decide to continue just operating from your soul, the day you meet someone that is killed in the realm of the spirit, especially in the negative supernatural, that person can hinder your life and you will not know what you are doing wrong. Because the person is using a utensil that the soul cannot detect. Hallelujah. We'll go gradually. You know, this is... Hey. Oh, this is Nigerian time. Hallelujah. Oh. Wait, then it's even worse. Let me check South African time. It has not entered my brain yet. Well, we're already here. So, let's do the business that brought us here. Are you with me? Okay. So, now the SIM card has been introduced. It is possible, one of the possibilities that you can access is the mind of God. The mind of God is accessible. Meanwhile, prior to that time, there's nothing like the mind of God. It's your own mind. You are cut off from that vast possibility. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, blessed verse 3, blessed be the Lord and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, is it in the realms of the divine supernatural, there are places. The reason why the tongues you spoke yesterday is different from the ones you are speaking today is because you are speaking from a different place. So there is no stereotyped spiritual activity. Are you with me? There are vast islands in Christ Jesus, and the extent to which you explore will determine your capacity. A lot of us here have decided not to explore, and that's why your level of spiritual experience is limited. For instance, if you say that you want to be praying for 30 minutes every day, God will give you a life, a civilization that is consistent with your input, 30 minutes input. That's the level of the supernatural you've experienced. And you cannot exhaustively enjoy the provisions at that level. So if you want to stay there, there's enough grace for you to remain at that level. If you say you want to invest 1 hour prayer every day as your routine, you'll be given a civilization that is consistent to that investment. I saw all the cars you parked outside, and I took notice that they are not the same. The driving experience is not the same. But they are all cars. That's how you can make a choice to be on a certain level of civilization. Not because that's the best, it's just because that's what you can afford spiritually with your input. You decide to, that's what you can afford. You are too busy, so you can't afford more than 30 minutes of input. What God will do is that He will create a possibility that is consistent with 30 minutes of input. And I'm telling you that the way you are today is a choice you have made. It's not because this is the best God can do. Are you with me? So if somebody here now says, okay, I'm going to be going for 3 hours every day. In the first 7 months, you will not think anything has changed. But after 7 months, a new range of spiritual experiences will begin to find expression because of the input that you are making. But the Bible says that he that soweth into the flesh, he that soweth sparingly, shall also reap sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully, he shall also reap bountifully. Maybe you have an intention to be a man whose ministry is reckoned for signs and wonders. It's a good desire. And there's enough resources in God to actualize your desire. But you see, it's no longer up to God on this matter. You are not fully with. I think we have not finished with this phone because you are no longer understanding. So I need to. When I was using the phone to illustrate, you were understanding me very well. Now, this is an Android phone. If you want to get an application that will work on the Android platform, you need to go to Google Store. Right? When you get to Google Store, you see thousands of applications that can run on this platform, depending on what you want. When you find the application you're looking for, because the last one I was trying to get is an application that can read my notes. That is, I have an essay, I have a book I want to read, and I don't want to be reading it myself. I want the app to read it for me. Right? So I just put it here, lie down, and then the book is reading itself to me. And then when I find an interesting part, I can stop it copy that one, send it to another Word document file. Piam. That's what I want. And there are about 7 applications that can do that. Are you with me? So I go to Google Store and I find the application I want, and I click on it and I want to install it. Then it brings terms and conditions which we don't all read. We thank God that that's not how the mark of the beast will be received. If not, all of us would have received it. Hallelujah. Then you click on it and you say, okay, yes, I accept the terms and conditions. I accept everything without reading. But then it begins to download. The moment you finish downloading, the application no longer belongs to Google. It belongs to you. So you don't go to Google to ask them for permission to use, because it's already one with your phone. Did you get that? Good. So if you got that, you can get what I want to say next. The day you got filled with the Holy Ghost, it was a download from heaven. And when it downloaded into you, you can now decide to use that facility at will. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he says, I will pray in the spirit. I will pray in my understanding also. The gift, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is the only gift that the Holy Spirit gives you that you can operate at will. The other gifts of the Spirit will operate as the Spirit wills. The reason why God did that, and the reason why Google did that, is so that when you download it here, it's no longer up to Google to give you permission to use. It's up to you to decide when you want to use. So God allowed that investment to be downloaded into you. He has relieved himself of the responsibility of usage. The responsibility of usage is now yours. So if you decide that you want to use it 2 times a month, the civilization you will get will be consistent with your level of input. Don't blame your pastor. You blame someone for your life. Your life is your design. That's what you want. How you are now is exactly what you are willing to afford. It's just like you went to a car shop. You saw all the cars. They said, this is 5 million rand. This is 2 million rand. This is 1 million rand. You look at everything else. In the light of my reality, I need the one of 900,000 rand payable in 8 years. Then they will press the calculator and say, okay, this is the interest that we are going to charge you per year. So eventually it's going to be this amount, but what they'll be taking from you every month is something that you can afford. So if we see you on the road, an apostle can do 220 kilometers per hour because of his engine, and your own can only do 100. Now, it is not God's fault. It's a capacity matter. And the capacity that you chose is not anybody's fault. That's what you could afford. But so, if you can only afford 25 minutes of engagement, it will produce 25 minutes reality. You will live on that level of civilization. So have you understood what Jesus is saying? Where are you? I'm still in John chapter 3. Why are you moving around? Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot perceive the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is there, but it's dead to the kingdom of God. So when that software, when the SIM card is inserted, you now become alive to the kingdom of God. Now, you see, that word see in the Greek is eido. And eido means to perceive by reason of senses. Now let me explain something before we go on. Because tonight is a night of practicals, it's not just a night of theory. When you were 9 months in your mother's womb, if we have doctors here, gynecologists, they can tell us, you already had eyes. Your eyes were fully developed. Your ears were fully developed. But unfortunately, the eyes were not meant for the womb, so they were not operational. It is when you were born that the eyes now struck light, and then the perception of sight started registering. Jesus is saying, before your spirit was created with inbuilt spiritual senses, but you need to be born again before they will become relevant. Did you get that? So you have senses, spiritual senses. So in order for us to be alive to God, which is what I want to teach today, because we got stuck in Ruach, got stuck there. We couldn't escape. Even though I just passed there to bring you back from the market, because some of you, your mind is still in the market. How somebody cheated you in the market, you are still thinking about it. So I had to bring a powerful scripture to attract your attention, to bring you to church, and then we got stuck there. So that's why we are coming to the book of John, chapter 3. Are you with me? Now, before, as we go on, I will need to take you to the book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. This is the effort of Apostle John to educate us on some of the new realities that are bound toward us as Christians that have been regenerated in our spirit. He said, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. First question is, what is unction? We have an unction from the Holy One. It tells us that the source of the unction is the Holy One. The Holy One happens to be the same card, the Holy Ghost. Now, the presence of the Holy Ghost in your human spirit gives rise to the presence of an unction. And it is by that unction that we know all things. So the unction, obviously, is a knowledge faculty. Stay with me. Don't worry about anything this night, because we are with the Lord. Now, in order to shorten my message, because anytime the Holy Ghost comes on me, I will stop preaching. In order to shorten it, which is my intention, you play something there. What I'm trying to do is to activate my own unction. The moment it's activated, I will stop preaching. That unction is a knowledge faculty, the instrument through which you can access spiritual knowledge. Are you with me? And the Bible says that the moment the Holy One came to take residence in your on your inside, it came with the potential of an unction. And it is through that unction that we know things without studying. We know things without reading. We know things without visiting libraries. We know things without attending lectures. We know them by the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost himself knows that you don't know how to live. He knows it. He knows that you want to live like a fallen man. And that is an error. It's erroneous. So when it comes into your system, he launches an educational system so that he can begin to educate you on how to live properly, because you don't know how to live. You will think you do. That's why, have you ever lost your peace before? You did something and then you lost your peace. And the thing you did was not wrong, but so the Holy Ghost is saying you can't live like that. That expression of you is falling. It's not from me. So he will keep complaining and protesting. The reason is because you have an unction. That unction comes to enlighten you, to give you insight into the heavenly description of life. And it gives you all the much needed spiritual knowledge to equip you to engage life from the spiritual perspective, from another level, which is beyond the level of your soul. And what I'm trying to achieve here is to take you beyond your sight, because Ruach will bring another faculty of knowledge, another sense that is superior to sight. So if the two senses are operating, physical senses are operating, giving you information, and Ruach is operating, giving you another information, and the information that are coming from the two sources are contradictory, forget about your sight, forget about your hearing, latch on to Ruach. It is superior, it is more accurate. Your physical senses are deceptive. And Jesus doesn't want us to operate with them when we are engaged in matters of destiny. Are you still with me? So he said, we have an unction. Please help me tell your neighbor, you have an unction. He didn't say you're about to have an unction. He didn't say you had an unction. He says, you have an unction. Are you still with me? Let me move you further before we start the real dance. You know, we are dressed in Zulu. Now, we are going to... There's some gymnastics that is involved here. Just like I saw. I didn't know my brother was capable of those kicks. In fact, I was releasing prayer that the Lord would just help him. Just help him. When he threw that kick, I said, Jesus Christ. I will practice for 1 year. When I come back next year, then I will try. But not now. I will go home. Go home and lock the door and try. If the angle begins to appreciate, then I can come in the open and attempt. And it's only once I will attempt. For 1 year. Every year, once. Hallelujah. Okay, come with me. Apostle Paul was trying to teach us in the book of Romans chapter 6. His effort in Romans chapter 5 is to explain the judicial aspects of the mix-ups that led to our liberty. And his effort in Romans chapter 6 is explaining our new creation realities. Things that we need to accept and update our thinking that is how we are. Like this kind of statement now. Ye have an unction. If you didn't know you had it before, you need to renew your mind and upgrade your understanding to know that there is a knowledge faculty that was introduced into your system the moment the Holy Spirit took habitation in your spirit. Is that clear? Okay. So this man is trying to educate us on the new creation realities. And he takes us to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 6. So you can begin with Romans chapter 6. This, my friend, this your application doesn't take so much time to bring the scripture. So let's not waste time. Huh? This is Paul attempting to do what we call give us an opportunity to renew our minds. Because the way you see yourself when you are an unbeliever and the way you see yourself as a believer, if it has not changed, then Satan is shortchanging you. So we will need an upgrade in order to understand the new context. Because the Bible calls our experience as new creations as the newness of life. If God calls it the newness of life, it means it is new and you don't know it. So you need to learn about this new thing in order for you to upgrade and function as a new creation. That's not automatic. The experience of a new creation is not automatic. In fact, some people will live like an old creation, even though they are born again, just because they did not experience the renewal of mind that is supposed to accompany your spiritual experience so that they will upgrade and do the things that a new creation is supposed to do in order to take advantage of the resources available and to operate at that level in reality. So don't just say, if any man be in Christ, a new creation, and you quote the scripture, and there's nothing new in your experience. Nothing new, because your mind is not renewed. And Satan will do anything possible, even through dreams, through people's words. He will speak through people's vocal cords to ensure that your mind is not renewed to accept your new reality. He uses circumstances, uses situations to preach to you. He even uses this, your spiritual senses. Sometimes Satan will speak through it. It's like a mask. Oh, you're done with me. Your spiritual senses, they are like a mask. Okay, you don't believe me. Have you ever been tempted? Anybody here tempted before? You have. Okay. You know what temptation is? Satan uses your spiritual senses to speak to you. That's what it is. Are you still following? Okay, so once in a while, that's why your mind needs to be renewed with the word of God, so that when Satan speaks. Because if Satan spoke to Jesus, he will speak to you. I hope you know you are not more powerful than Jesus. Satan even showed Jesus a vision. He took him in the spirit. So some of your dreams are not from God. Yes. So he knows the gift of communication. Sometimes he uses your transmission station and he transmits his mind into your mind. Yes. He doesn't want you to ever come to the knowledge of the fact that you are a new creation. To upgrade your mind to accommodate that new possibility. He wants you to live in the fallen range. And in that range is the chieftain. He determines what happens. If your life is lived on the plane of the flesh, you must understand that what the flesh is to Satan is what the spirit is to God. God operates through your spirit. That's the conductor that transmits God. Satan operates through your flesh. And anytime you give to the flesh, you produce Adam. Anytime you yield to the Spirit, you produce Christ. So, as a new creation, you must accept that your real personality is not the personality that is revealed through your flesh. Oh, you are not with me. You are not with me. You are not with me. You are not following me. You must accept part of the first item of mind renewal, according to Paul in the book of Romans chapter 5, that you must come to terms with, is that I am not Adam. I am not a descendant of Adam. I cannot look like Adam. And Adam is in the flesh. So I bring into captivity every walk of the flesh in my life. Yes, the flesh will wake up. The flesh will tell you, sleep with that lady now. That, can't you see how she is? But if you do that, if you yield, you will produce what Adam will produce. You will produce the falling. So the Bible says it's by the Spirit of God. We bring into death the desires of the flesh. So that we can close the door to the flesh completely. And we can now open the door of the Spirit. So that Christ will have a theater through us to manifest his Spirit. The Bible says that the believers were first called Christians in Antioch. No, if you read it in the Greek, they were called little Christ. Because those guys have sealed up the flesh. They were taught, they were instructed properly. They've sealed up the flesh. They never allowed the flesh to express it. It was only the spirit. And he that is in their spirit, even Christ Jesus, was the one that was manifesting. And each of them looked like each other. Each of them looked like Jesus. Each of them, they say these guys are little Christ. They are little Christ. The believers were first called Christians. At Antioch. At Antioch. Little Christ. Where our will is surrendered. So it is his will that we are doing. So if somebody is careful to read your life, he will see what Christ is doing in your vessel. In some, he can be a teacher. That is instructive. Anytime he opens up, he is an instructive teacher. In some, he's a warrior. Yes, the texture. Oh my God. In my vessel, he fights. If you have somebody you want to bring down, that's my job. I have the utensils. I have the weapons. Oh, I'm stronger on my knees than I am on the pulpit. If I bless you on the pulpit, you don't have any idea of how I can mount up when I'm on my knees. In me, he fights. So there are aspects of him that will be manifested through each believer. And when we come together like this, then we have the full armor of God. There's nothing we cannot bring down, brother. If you don't know that, it means your mind is not renewed. And Satan is shortchanging you, taking advantage of you. He wants you to maintain an old perspective. So the first thing that we must renew to accommodate is that your life is not in the flesh. Your life is in the spirit. For Paul says, for me to live is what? Christ. Giving expression to Christ is what living is for the new creation. As I'm teaching, at some point, the Holy Ghost will begin to manifest. But don't be distracted. Even if it's your neighbor, stay with the teaching. Stay. Huh? Living according to New Testament description is allowing Christ expression. For me to live is Christ. And if you have lived Christ, death for you eventually will not be lost. The man that we have lost is a man that was not able to leave Christ. So we don't know the story that God is telling through him. Because your life in the spirit is a story that God is telling from heaven. In the life of David, it was the story of the compatibility between worship and warfare. The partnership between worship and warfare. That in the days of warfare, those days are the days of worship. That was the story he told through the life of David. What is the story that God is telling through your own life? If the story is not clear, it means you live more in the flesh than you live in the spirit. And that's why it is difficult to discern the story that God is telling. Satan will want you to be limited to the flesh. Jesus Christ. You need to fight as a believer. That the flesh should not be my description. I will not be a slave of his desires. I will not be kept in captivity by the desires that come. And you will, the desires will still be there. You will still see women and like them. Hey, this one is from Kenya. This is how they look. Ah, you will still like them. But you know what? By the spirit, we shut down, we paralyze the desires of the flesh. If you decide not to give it attention, it will wither. Its strength of impression will wither. You will know it doesn't have a foundation. Just give it time. It will become a mirage. You will know it doesn't have roots. What has roots is the spirit. And that's why encounters can be tangible. And they can live with you for 25 years. Because that's where your foundation is. That's who is your foundation that is speaking. It's your root that is speaking. I was dancing in my hotel room today, and there was no music, but the music was coming from inside. If you go to the book of Ezekiel chapter 11, you will see Lucifer. Of all the angels that were created, there is only one angel in the entire Bible. And I speak from a researched opinion. Only one angel in the entire Bible is called the anointed cherub. In the realm of the angelic, this angel was number one. in rank. In fact, the Bible called him the guardian cherub. He was like a bodyguard for God. He is the only anointed cherub, but he is one among the guardian cherubs. So there are two guardian cherubs. You still remember the portrait of the Holy of Holies? You will see two cherubims. Like one is like this, and then the other one is like this. You still remember? You remember that? One of them is Lucifer, the guardian cherub. He protects the glory of God. Are you there? You are not there. I hope you know the high priest is going to come into that place. And if the high priest sees that glory, the high priest will die. So the guardian cherub needs to protect the high priest from the glory so that he can stand before Jehovah and minister. You still remember that man? Is there the cherub? Because anytime you hear of cherubims, they protect the glory of God. If you hear seraphims, they protect the holiness of God. They are always around holiness. They are jealous for God's holiness. The cherubs in the glory of God can unveil their faces like this. You will see their faces. But the seraphs in the fullness of holiness, identity must be conceived. So they have 6 wings, but they don't use all of them for flying. They use 2 to cover their faces. They use 2 to cover their feet. And they use only 2 to fly. I've seen them only once. I've seen them once. I saw a cherubim once when we went to Jerusalem. We had 5 buses from Nigeria, and I was a pastor of my bus. They appoint you either a reverend father, a reverend with a collar, so they can appoint you to be the bus captain. So I was the captain of my bus. Because of that, I was entitled to a big room, all right? Very big room. And I was entitled to fruits, a basket of fruits, and so many privileges because I was the pastor of 50 people on that pilgrimage. Then one of the government officials was on my bus, and we were supposed to be 2 per room because there are only 25 rooms to be allocated to my bus. When we got there, he said it's a government official, they cannot share a room with anybody. So the guy that was left, I now called him, gave him my bed. I said, "You sleep on my bed, I'll sleep on the floor." While I slept on the floor, a cherubim came to me in Jerusalem. If I am saying the truth, I will ask the God of heaven. If what I'm saying is true, I'm going to ask the God of heaven in the next, maybe, to send us one this night. To send us just one.
Continue. No preacher can preach again. Because once the cherubs begin to flap their wings, the presence of God begins to intensify. presence of God that is here, we can have miracles now. We can have miracles. You know, I said, what you experience will be determined by your level of investment. If you begin to invest more, you begin to experience more. Your life will no longer be like the life of the average Christian. No, you will go beyond that. You go to the exceptional level. You see, encounters are taking place. Just, no prayers yet, no prayers. We're just drinking something. And some people are already getting delivered. All kinds of things are already taking place. Oh. It's intensifying. It's intensifying. It's intensifying. It's intensifying. So when your spirit begins to drink the presence of God, it will feel like you're having ventilation inside. You will forget that you have troubles. You forget that you have problems. Because your spirit man is being revitalized. If you continue investing in your spirit man like that, the influence of your spirit man will grow and it will swallow up those problems. God solves our problems from inside out. Now, deliverance is taking place. We are not praying for people. All of that is in the presence of God, not in the presence. If I continue here like this without prayer, this thing that has come, it will be increasing in capacity. It will be increasing. It will be increasing. A time will come, some people will start prophesying. Just here. No prayer yet. The Lord will increase your greatness in the name of Jesus Christ. Now you can see what we are talking about here is not the greatness of a preacher, it is the greatness of our God, and all of us have this God. All of us. But whether or not you'll be great in your vessel will be dependent on how renewed your mind is. Can we pray one prayer point before I begin to pray for miracles? Can we ask that the Lord will make us more sensitive to His Spirit? What you are looking for is not lost. Can we ask Him for sensitivity? That He might activate the unction. Cry to Him. I don't want to live like Adam. I want to live from the fountain that has been unlocked from my spirit. For greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. My life is running on the platform of greatness. The one that energizes me, my driving force, is greater than the prince that is in the world. So I cannot be subdued. I cannot be bent over because there is spiritual capital in my spirit that enables me, that energizes me. Come on, Chico, praise God, be like.
Kabe Banse La Braska Da Bobo Ramas Igo Mande Zeri Kombre Kababo Sakande Risko Belanakis Abre Mondele Zima Kabre Skote Batadalia Abra Makatando Siko Bre Sosa Neta Iga Mantadia Isko Bregede Rakabato Zeta Iko Bre Baratala Isko Brezo Sanande Isko Matade Bomboria Abresko de Masatala Ika Branta Baboria Askedo Bonda Ika Mamatala Esko Seli Eka Presko de Lamna Ika Branta Baboke Babina Hante Isko Se Sanataria Abremina Abranta Babose Abranta Babakatala Iko Sabena Kunde Abraika Bamase Akabose Sanatinde Ika Presko Pela Mantadia Aseli Iko Babua, Ika Babanta Cancelate, Ika Prescota Cantelia, Izo Saite, Maka Tokebala, Iko Braisa, Akante Bonde, Akadesco Bababunda, Ika Brenia Tete, Akaiso Mandeli. Hello, Bosando.
Continue, you will lose all sense of time. Then you, when you recover yourself, because you were sucked into the spirit, and in that place, time means nothing. I want to pray for the sick right now, so that God will begin to do miracles. Just attempting to introduce us to a realm. I believe when we come next year, we will not be in a hurry. We'll do Friday, Saturday morning, Saturday evening, Sunday. So we'll have time to travel. On the last night, which is Saturday night, I will take you somewhere, then I will leave you there. Yes, just. If you find your way from there, you find your way home. So it's in the hands of God. If we can explain everything, then God is not involved. Things that cannot be explained. I saw in the spirit the Lord was giving someone, oh my God, giving someone the gift of prophecy. I saw it. I saw the golden trumpet. The gift of prophecy has been given to someone in the congregation. Once and again, the Lord will seize your vocal cord. He will seize your vocal cord and use your vocal cord to communicate His mind. If I say in the name of Jesus, give me a loud amen. We'll do it 7 times so that we can minister to the territory. Anything that is planted in this land that God has not planted, that we shout amen, the things will be coming out of the ground. So let's test it. In the name of Jesus. 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 Father, tonight, I bind every sickness. I bind every disease. I bind every pain. I break every curse. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I bind every blinding spirit. Blinding spirit, be bound in Jesus' name. I bind every pain. Come out in the name of Jesus. Every spirit that doesn't allow people sleep in the night, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. Deafening spirits, be bound in the name of Jesus. I bind every growth, every cancer, every fibroid, every tumor, I say dissolve, 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 dissolve in the name of Jesus Christ. I break every blood condition from HIV, hepatitis B, anything that lingers on the blood, I destroy you in the name of Jesus Christ. flesh to begin to go. I command bones to join together. Bone to bone. As I bind the spirit of paralysis in the name of Jesus Christ. Eye diseases jump out in the name of Jesus.
Someone had an accident and you had an injury around the spinal area, and there's been this consistent pain. The hand of Jesus comes on that spinal cord right now. A creative miracle is taking place now. Let the spinal cord be mended and let the pain fly away in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Alright, so healings have begun. It will continue even when we... There's someone's eyes that has been healed that I see. And the person that had that pain on the spinal cord, you can look for it. The woman in this place has not been able to sleep for some time. And even if you get to sleep and you hear a little noise, you wake up and you cannot go back to sleep. It's a demonic activity. A little demon that has been assigned to bring you on rest. But the yoke breaks. This night you will sleep and they will need to wake you up this night. I see someone that wasn't able to bend down. So I challenge you to bend now. Because the rope that was held on your waist has been removed. So if you can, you can try bending. Try bending, you will see what I'm talking about. You will see what I'm talking about. So when you confirm that what you came in here, you've been delivered from it, you come and stand this way. So while we wait for you, we will spend 15 minutes for deliverance. We'll start the deliverance service. It will last for 15 minutes because of time. So if you check and you know that there is a miracle, you come here. Okay? We are going to do a deliverance service for 15 minutes. I saw in the spirit, and I saw someone, and your bondage was tied to a river. The bondage that you have been carrying tied to a river. The Lord will stretch forth his hand, and he will identify those people. There are about three of you here. I saw that your bondages are tied to the venerations that were done in a certain river. And the spirit that is a guardian of that river has been following three of you around. As I will pray and the Lord will identify you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that from my left hand side to my right hand side, to the back, those ones whose bondages are tied to a river, I ask that you identify them by a touch of the anointing. 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 Holy Ghost! Ushers, when you find them, bring them. There are three. There are three of them. So that we can conduct the deliverance. When you find them, you bring them. I command that spirit from the river, contending for your soul, contending for your health, shutting the door to your marriage. That spirit tonight, I arrest it. 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 Be gone in the name of Jesus. Today, I have seen the thief that has plundered, that has taken. It's remaining one person. Father, in the name of Jesus, anywhere that one is, by a touch of the anointing, by a touch of the anointing, by a touch of the anointing, identify, identify,
identify, identify, I identify, identify in the name of Jesus.
Any place where your umbilical cord was buried as a means of transacting with the spirits of the water, in the name of Jesus Christ, I take authority over those demons of the water. I come in the name of Jesus Christ with the authority of His kingdom, and I break your power. I break your power. I release your womb. I release your marriage and every legal union in the spirit that you have suffered from. Today, I break that union. Is it not written that when a thief is caught, he shall restore sevenfold? He shall give all the substance of his house. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask tonight for a restoration. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Now, is Sister Rose from UN. Where are you? From African Union. Did she make it to this place? If you are here, so because I will not see you at the end of the service, come now. There's a woman here. Your husband is a victim of witchcraft attack. He suddenly changed. He suddenly changed, and for the past 3 years, you've been weeping. You lost your peace. The home is in shambles. Where's that woman? Come. It's not your fault. We can liberate him. We liberate him in the name of Jesus. Bring her. Bring her. We liberate him. And any spell that was casted on that man, tonight in this holy place, we break the yoke. Why are you here?
My husband for 3 years just started changing.
So it's witchcraft. I saw it in the spirit. I'm going to do something. Oh my God. I have authority from Jesus to do it. The person that tied your husband, if he's still alive, your husband will never be free. Are you aware of that? You aware?
Yes.
So we want to release him now. I want to release him. I have authority from Jesus to do that. Those men that have been kept in captivity, I loosen them from the yoke, from the bondage, from the darkness. So in the name of Jesus, I command the yoke on your husband to break. Let the hold of darkness on him
be cut off now. Come forth from the hiding place. Come forth from the prison house. Why are you here? For your own case, I see that they buried something. They buried something in the ground. So we spoil that witchcraft. We spoil that witchcraft. We spoil it. We spoil it. So he will come back in his right mind. Doesn't matter how long you've wandered, how far you've gone. Come back home. Come back home. Come back home. In the name of Jesus. So he will come back. He will come back. So those spirits of the water will take authority over you. Will take authority over you. So I will touch you just here on your forehead, just very little. So we'll call you forth. Father, I call them. I call them. I call them forth. Let the chains be broken. Let the yoke be lifted. I call you forth. Come forth. Come from where you were kept, from where you were put in bondage, from the prison house. Come forth! Yes, you are out. You are out. Come forth. Come forth. Say one thing you want, sister. One thing, just one thing. Just tell the Lord. Ooh, ooh. Ooh, 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 ooh. Ooh. If I tell you, you will not believe. Somebody here is dead. Somebody here is dead. You know, I know you will not believe. They have concluded the person's death in the coven. I think last night or so, last night. Father, in the name of Jesus, that one whose death has been concluded by a touch of the anointing, identify that individual from my left hand side to my right hand side to the back of the hall. Yes, bring the person. You don't come to the house of God to die. The only merchandise that we have here is life. So death cannot survive the atmosphere of His presence.
I am on a sand about the candy.
Now listen to me. Somebody's womb was shut. I'm seeing a story here. There's a story. Okay, let's bring this one from the dead first.
Come
out of the grave. Yes. We bring you out of the grave. Out of the grave. Out of the grave. Out of the grave. Oh my God. Come out! I am Come on! So someone took a goat, took a hen, took some other food stuff to a sangoma with a prayer. Now the womb of a woman should be shut. And her womb was stopped. And that woman is here. And the Lord has given me charge to open your womb. The woman I'm speaking about, your womb will become hot. Your womb, it will become hot. Usher, you will find the person. The womb will be so uncontrollably hot. Just look for this woman for me. The heat is already coming into that womb. It will make her restless. Look for her. If that sign is not sufficient, I will give you another one. I am sent to that woman. Jehovah says he has heard the voice of your cry. Jehovah says he has heard the voice of your lamentation. Jehovah says your days of mourning are over. And he has requested that I hold your hand and bring you out of the dungeon. For tonight is your day of deliverance. Grace is poured upon your face. Grace is released. I bless you. Rise up, O woman. I'm saying to you, rise up. The first thing I decree tonight is that that offering the sangoma received will be the last offering he or she will ever receive. That's the thing. It's not the Lord that said that, it's me. That offering. You will not be opportune to receive another one. So I will touch you like this. Three times, I have to touch you three times. Okay, so the Lord will begin work now. Weep not, weep not, weep not.
go. Sister, give me your hand. Your one has been solved already. You will rejoice. Don't worry. You will rejoice. Huh? Go. Let the womb be open. Let the womb be open. Let it be open. Let it be open. Let it be open. Let it be open. I break the chains. Yeah. Oh my God. Yes, let it be open. Let it be. Okay. I am no Mazedi. I am no Mazedi. They could hold my love. They could find. They could soul of my own. They could stand the day. Stand the day. Yes, go. My love of you now. They do a son of you. She could be my dear. He's the pinnacle. Little time.
That's a light for them. With every aspect of your life that the devil has controlled before today, be recovered. Be recovered. Be recovered. No weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. In the name of Jesus. Go in this thy mind. Sister, shake my hand. Is it possible? Yeah, just leave it. You will rejoice. So I want to see that person that had an injury and you had pain on your spinal cord and the pain is no more. I want to see that person. If the person is in this congregation. The person is in this congregation. I want to see what happened to you.
I had a car accident and I was hit by my spinal cord, and it's been 3 years. The pain has been unbearable and stopping, but today I'm healed.
A great thing was about to come in your life. The wicked people that were monitoring your life saw it and they wanted to cut you. But the Lord sent an angel and he protected you. So now I give you that which was to come, for which the enemy began to fight you. I'm seeing so many things, but they are faster than I can say. So, So the light came from heaven and it hit you. So I will just do my hand like this. The people involved will be affected. The people involved will be affected. The people involved, they'll be affected. The people involved will be affected. Oh, it's coming. It's intense. The people involved will be affected. People involved. The limitation on your life is being removed. Being removed. It's been 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 removed. And the hand of God even comes stronger. It comes even stronger. Comes even stronger. The limitation. Yeah.
Apostle, this gentleman here came with a testimony. He was involved in a motorbike accident. His spine was ruptured. Doctors told him his pain is inevitable and he's going to live on epidural injections for the pain. But today he's been completely healed. He does not feel the pain anymore.
Monarch, we give you glory, give you praise. Thank you. Thank you. And I beheld in the spirit. Come. Are you aware this is your season? Yeah. It's your season. I saw the angel give you diamonds. So if you are into business, you will see the kind of prosperity. Yes. You say you are innocent. That's why he's giving you. Yes, you are innocent. Gives you diamond. Sometimes I see when God wants to prosper people, sometimes he gives silver, so I know what it means. Sometimes he gives gold. It's only a few times he gives diamond. Yes, what happened to you?
This gentleman apostle has come with a testimony as well. He was also involved in a car accident. He was paralyzed from the waist downwards. He recovered, but he has been experiencing crucial pain. He couldn't
walk.
I was standing. I was diagnosed with epilepsy in 2014. And then in 2016, as I was standing, my back just broke.
It just broke.
And then ever since then, I had walking problem and standing problems, and I couldn't work properly. But now, when I tested my back, the pain was gone.
Come here, come here. Light. Okay.
So look at the light. If you feel pain, let me know. So that epilepsy will not come again. If you feel pain, let me know. I don't want you to go back with that problem. You still feel it? Okay. Just tell me if you still feel it. Yes, what happened to you?
This gentleman, Apostle, was under a very heavy wave of witchcraft. He would wake up at night, take all his clothes and throw them in the rivers. He'll be hearing voices leading him to rivers, to mountains, strange places. Recently, last month, he woke up and started sleepwalking at night, and he threw himself in a 200-meter wide dam. But now he believes to be delivered.
So he was a victim of the spirits of the river. So there's one way we will know if they have all left, because there's one way. I want to pray a prayer for the congregation. But there's something I'm missing. Don't go. Stand here. There's something I'm missing. So you will help me. Let's pray in tongues for 2 minutes, then I'll get it. Just 2 minutes. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Yeah. Cristo fala moça de aponte. Com Cristo fala batalha para ter custa. Ok, ok, ok. There's a wizard that has been doing incantations against this church. I want to bring him down this night. Father, no one fights light. And because this one has turned himself against light, by light I judge him. I judge you. I judge you. Fall in the name of Jesus. Okay, before we do the final prayer, just if you can sit, I have an announcement to make. Come. Hey, me go my land and push the man. You got me my land and go there. You monad. You go monad. You go monad. So, now listen. There's somebody here. You're close to me, huh? You are in a very intense spiritual fight. So I came to join forces with you. So in the next 17 seconds, God will stretch forth his hand and touch you by his anointing. Then I will know that you are the one. Father, help me find this person. Stretch forth your hand. Yeah. The witches will overwhelm you if I don't support you. Bring her. Bring and bring the brother. They've already taken her name to a sangoma that has a superior altar than the energy she generates from her spirit. Bring them. Bring that one too. They have already been tired for the slaughter. My assignment and the capacity of a prophet to fight with you so that you can be set at liberty. You will see growth now. You will see it now. This growth you have seen was with resistance. The one you will have now is without resistance. So fly, mount up. Mount up with you. Let your voice be heard. Let men go out of their ways to be a blessing to you. And let the sons of strangers stand and be with you. I was sent to fight with you. So I take on the battle that you have been fighting. Let him go! I say, let her go. Let her go. Let her go. So listen to me. The announcement I have to make is that there is a land that we need to buy here in Pietermaritzburg. We need to build a building that can accommodate the people that are coming. As you can see, this place is small. If I'm not mistaken, there are people. Are there people outside? Oh. So there's a land we want to buy for the church. And I want to challenge you to make a contribution to that project. The media guy, can you put the account details on the screen? And for those of you that are willing to participate in this because of this call, write down this account details. Right? From now to the next 3 months, you are going to experience a breakthrough. When you have that breakthrough, decide what you want to give to them. If you decide now that, okay, I don't even have the money, but I want to make a contribution, take the number by faith. Then when you do that, God will now give you a breakthrough. Not in the normal sources of income that you get. I'm not counting that. It will come from God's source. Then you now decide when it comes. Okay, it came from God, and the reason why it came is because of this land. You decide what you will give God. If it's 1%, no problem. If it's 100%, no problem. If it's 20%, no problem. You decide. Then I'll leave the story there. The story next year will complete the story. So now, yeah, just take the. You can snap it, you can copy it out. No, we will not use the envelopes today because
I don't want them to give the money they have here. The one that they will give will come in a strange way. And it will happen from now till 3 months from today. Well, since time is up, we have not finished, but time is up. So, to round up, anywhere you are seated, raise your hand and pray in this place. We pray for the land of Pietermaritzburg and for the entire KZN. And the land will receive of you messy drops and then great torrents of rain. Let the land be washed from every darkness, everything that bears the name of wickedness. Let it be washed out by the rivers of the Spirit that will visit this land. I pray for the ministers of the gospel that are laboring here, Lord. Increase your capacity upon their lives. And let a mighty work begin in the land. Oh, thank you, Father. I bless everyone that traveled in from different countries, everyone that came from different provinces. Go back with grace. Go back with grace. Go back with the power of God. In the name of Jesus Christ. The things that were difficult for you before, they'll be easy for you now.